Blog Talk Radio.
Well, now that Mazursky is through with his promenade through the gallery, it is time for us to turn to poetry. Good evening, poets. Welcome, everyone, and welcome to Exploring a Crisis with Captain B2, c'est moi, and Signore Daniel Deschino. Daniel, out there.
Hey, I am out there, but I am unable, as usual, to do any kind of other languages or accents or anything, so I'm going to leave that all up to you tonight.
I can barely speak English, so that's all. You just be your highly capable and sweet self, and that'll be fine.
Excellent. I will.
And
I'm very excited to be here tonight.
Do we have the inimitable Pam out there? Dead silence. That worries me. Is Pam with us?
Yes, you do have me here. Remember, if you got onto the show, it means I'm here.
You deserve recognition, because without you, this would not be happening.
Thank you, and I appreciate you both.
100%. She is the George Lucas to our Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. There you go. That's what I'm trying to say. So she's the one that's really pulling the strings. We're just the, you know.
Yeah. Hey, now I'm more like an angry little Ewok.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the visual image is funny. Bless your heart.
I'm happy you got a Star Wars reference right off your head. You just went up in my book panel, let me tell you.
Do we have any callers this evening?
Let me check. Not as of yet.
Okay. All righty.
No problem.
That's okay. These things sometimes blossom as they go along. So what we can start with is the three carryovers that we had from last show with the Michael Cheval artwork. We have three carryovers. Are you posting or am I posting?
I'm posting. I got them ready to go.
Hot damn. Here
you're
we go.
You,
all right.
Yeah, you can post, and I'll post, and you can pick the the readers,
yeah,
which you only got a couple this time.
Yeah, we have selection of three. That'll definitely slow it down. Okay, so let's go ahead and do the first carryover. And
absolutely,
and that. Yeah,
I do.
And I'll go ahead. Yeah.
Good. No, I was gonna say this is the for those. Following along from the last contest, this is the Battle of Absurdity by S. Sharp, and this is prompt 9 that he is on. So take it away.
Oh, excellent, excellent. This is the batch of Michael Cheval artwork that we had. So I'll go ahead and read this to open things up. And we have the Ballad of Absurdity by S. Sharp. Absurdity unfurls itself like a maiden disrobing, one key at a time, playing chopsticks on a piano of onlookers, feigning preoccupancy in the vines, pushing. She actually played the flute, lips pursed, or a stringed instrument tuned to a farce, strumming notes over a tip jar, overflowing with buffoonery. End poem. All righty. Dan, you want to start the comments off?
I do, and I really like S. Sharp a lot. I like and I really was looking forward to this this poem. I had read it before. Very, very descriptive. For those again following along with the prompt, it's really descriptive to the actual prompt. I like to think that there are little poems within poems when I see this type of composition. So I also like reading, and maybe I'm just reading into things, but I like doing it anyway. I also, while I was reading this, was reading disrobing, wishing, overflowing with buffoonery. It's like a little poem within a poem, and I actually liked that one as well, too, because I think this is not only kind of playful on the picture, but it's a little sensually playful as well, too. What I created maybe has a little mini poem within, kind of a microcosm of the same poem, but it's really nice, really beautiful, and I loved strumming notes over a tip jar. I really enjoyed that a lot. So beautiful
that
job.
Is, that's clever. It is a definitely a clever interpretation of that particular prompt with a woman reclining, and it's interesting how her costume starts as zebra stripes and ends as a piano key. And that is just so typical of the intricacy and attention to detail in Michael Cheval's work. But this, you said it's number 9. I'm sorry. I'm thinking further down the line. This one's a young lady sitting at a piano. She's topless, but she's got her back to the audience with this grand hat on, and she's got all of these looks like spirits around the piano playing wind instruments and stringed instruments, and there she is at the piano. But lovely interpretation of that. I really enjoyed that. I liked his humor, his sense of humor, his playfulness in that, and his interpretation. Okay, Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I always like S. Sharp's style. I like how he chose to use the phrase, absurdity unfurls itself. I also really like, Dan, how you mentioned that his has a playfulness to it and a sensual playfulness. I have to agree, and I thought that was a great observation. But to me, oftentimes you think of absurdity as something that just happens completely by accident, like you trip over it. But there's oftentimes a thought-out elegance in creating absurdity through any form of art. I also like that he put certain words like disrobing and wishing I thought by themselves. I really thought it was important to put the word wishing by itself, because it's the whole idea of performing for other people when you're wishing that you could do what you actually just want to do for yourself. So I thought this was beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, great comment. Great comment. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes we think that the absurd is accidental when, in fact, it's very much like sarcasm in that it is quite intentional and is almost an art form for some people. Okay. Well, thank you for that. And who have we got up next?
Yes, I'm going to post the next one right now. And I will give a disclaimer to me posting things. I'm on my third glass of wine, so we'll see what happens at midnight. I'll try to keep my composure. I'm just being honest with everybody here.
Well, I did encourage everyone earlier in the evening to recharge their glasses with their libation du jour. So what are you drinking?
True. Just some Merlot, but it's getting more delicious as each glass comes around. So, and we might have a caller here.
Yeah, here. Anxious to come in.
Yes. Yes, you do. We have area code 443. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
This is Martha.
Oh,
hi, Martha.
Hi.
Hey, Martha.
Thank you for joining us, Martha.
Lovely.
Sure.
All righty.
And let's get going here. So I have posted the next one, which is where are we here? This is by R.G. Kamel, called Music, and this is for prompt number 2 for the second of our third carryovers.
Why don't you give that a read, Dan? Sorry, I didn't
interrupt
you. Why don't you go give that a read, Dan?
I absolutely will. This is called Music. Silvery strings of moonlit music caressed the mind. End poem.
Definitely a brevity.
Yes, that was an easy
and
one.
And that's prompt 2. Which, interestingly enough, is it's a group of 3 people, and they look like they're playing. 2 of them are playing looks like a phantom harp, and the third person looks like they're sitting and reading music. So I like the way he's interpreted that. Silvery strings of moonlit music caress the mind. Beautifully done, brevity. And so, what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, R.G. Kamel always does the 3-line brevities quite well. And this is definitely one where it's difficult to separate. But I will say that I particularly like the alliteration in using moonlit, music, and mind. And I also like that he put in there the word caressed. So just a beautifully written idea on the way that music touches the soul. And very well done.
Well said. Well said. And Martha, what did you think of this piece?
I think it's beautiful. A lot of truth there. A lot of times it feels like music is caressing your mind.
Truly. Truly. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
I agree with all the ladies here. Silvery moonlight. Caressing, I think Silvery Moonlight does caress very much, and I love strings, music, and mind. All music is just supposed to be for the mind. To go back to the ancient Greeks, they wanted to have two main subjects in college: gymnastics for the body and music for the mind, and then everything else was kind of extra studies. So, it was, I love when the brevities have so much like that in it. So, great job, RG.
It is a beautiful interpretation of the artwork, which very subtly, while it does not show you the moon, at the very top of the piece, it is very silvery light, and you can see that there was moonlight coming down on the harp. So, nicely done with that piece. So, who's up next?
Yes, I have to post that, don't I? Hold on a second. I'm already behind. But let's go right here.
It's that third
and
line. I'm going to
take a break from the line for a little bit here. So this is our last carryover. What we have is Coda Cadence by Rich F., and he was using, for those, again, following along, he combined 2 of them. He had prompt 5 and prompt 14. And who is going to read?
Well, this is a long one. I'll dive in and do it. What the heck? Coda Cadence, because I'm going to put everybody else to work later on. Pollyanna plays piano passion, trilling tunes and mystic melodies, feral fingers, cosmic keyboard fashion, heaven's angels cry in harmony. Infinite her octaves stretch, not strain. The perigee express the sweet refrain. The train speeds by to join the music madness, transports conductors of a different kind, and Anna croons her tantric tunes of sadness, a penny whistle warbles in her mind. She She drops her teacup, knocks it from the table. Coda cadences complete her fable. And now she waits in trepidation at frosty snowbound station, quavered notes still floating on the wind. Train bound for a different destination, Pollyanna's pure anticipation. Snow-capped mountains, Annapurna climb. She prays to make it to the church on time. All aboard the Fairyland Express, a new dimension. Goblins, elves, and sprites, Titania and Oberon, dance and prance, and in a trance move on, while Impish Puck purveys his sweet delights. And Anna Child rides the wild unicorn, surveys the scene transfixed with her dream of watery, ever-flowing, ever-still, these fairies frozen, now they never will. Provide a punchline, plot, and plan and scheme, now Anna marvels in this mystic land, and turning, reaches out for a nurse's hand, quavered notes still floating on the wind. End poem. Wow, that was amazing. Martha, would you like to start the comments for us, please?
Oh, yes. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was just beautiful, the way it flowed and the message. It was just kind of like a child's bedroom story.
Great. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think of this piece?
This is just absolutely delightful. It has such a wonderful rhyme and flow to it. Great use of alliteration. I like how this has a bounce to it, and the imagery and use of the mythological references and story time references are just absolutely clever and stunning. And I really like how he takes us into adventures that are in the mind, in the imagination, and, you know, of the child, or even like of someone who has that childlike imagination and allows their mind to wander into those kind of realms. So just absolutely very well done.
Wonderful observations. Thank you. I agree. Dan, what did you think?
I agree 100%. I think there's a lot in here, and what I've read of Rich F. before, he does that on all of his poems. I love titles. I'm big into the titles and what they mean. And Coda Cadence to me is perfect for this, because the cadence is kind of like a chord in music.
Yeah.
And the coda cadence, with the alliteration, that makes sense, because the chords and the alliteration, they're kind of married together. And then the way he does the rhyming as well too. So I thought that was very, very clever. And also the slight where were they here? Titania and Oberon, and there was another one.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting with another Shakespeare reference on here.
Yes.
And to me, it actually reminded me a little bit of the way Shakespeare would write, not in the Old English, but just in the rhyming scheme and the way it flowed and the way it was a story. So yeah, a lot in this, and it's really, really beautifully done, a lot of great imagery. Bobby, what did you think? And after you're done with that, if you want to maybe introduce our next contest as well, because we will start with the new contest.
Oh, yes, okay. Well, I also agree with everyone's observations. It is a very well-crafted piece. I did like the references to Midsummer Night's Dream, very, very well woven in there. And this is a lovely flight of fantasy that does have a nice – it itself has a nice cadence to it, and it was a pleasure to read. As one of those pieces, I think, that bears rereading, and it benefits from it because you get more out of it each time you read it, because this is a very complex piece. So,
it really
alrighty.
Does. There's a lot in here. He's got a lot of different like harmonies, both in meaning and in just the words itself. So, yeah, great observation.
And as a musician, you would pick up on that. So I'm glad that you you contributed that. Our next contest,
sure.
This is what, the one we're opening with tonight, now that we've caught up with our last show. We're, the artwork is Through the Eyes of Youth with Lisa Iasato. And believe it or not, I discovered Lisa Iasato in researching wine labels. And she is the artist for a particular type of wine that I had tried, and I was so impressed by the artwork on the label that I looked it up on the Vintner's website, and it led me to her and all of this marvelous artwork. So it's, you know, it is amazing how you can unearth these jewels that are out there. And so we had quite a lovely turnout for this contest. So why don't you start us off?
Absolutely. And yeah, this is our third show, but we had a lot of compliments and comments on this artist.
Yeah.
Cause I think this is really, really a popular one. So it's great. And the first one, which I'm very excited about, great way to start is with Martha. I posted it, but I believe we do have a SoundCloud. If we can get the SoundCloud played, that would be great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Books by Martha Gettle. When I was just a girl, books were the center of my world. I'd read every night till late, as I contemplated my escape. Books, they carried me away, far from the pain of the day. So much pleasure there I'd find, as the pages of the book filled my mind. Books were the perfect escape for me, from all the things that shouldn't be. Yes, as the words filled my mind, I left my world behind. Books were my greatest friends. They brought me joy without end. Life was a little better for me when I had a book to read. Books were the perfect escape for me from all the things that shouldn't be. Yes, as the words filled my mind, I left my world behind. Life has not always turned out right. Things turn my day to night. But in books I could always find some comfort for my mind.
Outstanding. Great SoundCloud. I really appreciate those SoundClouds, Martha. Thank you. And also, I want to give you a gold star on your forehead for being our first contest entry. So thank you for that. That's always you see that first entry and you go, oh, my God, the ball's rolling. Finally, somebody discovered it. So thank you for being our first one. It was delightful to see your name up there front and center. So, all righty. Well, Dan, what did you think of Martha's piece?
Yes, I absolutely love this. Amazing take on the prompt, and I relate 100%, even though I was actually a little boy, believe it or not a little girl, but the same thing that we still related here. I mean, so when I first really discovered books, you know, that was me sitting there. And I, to be honest, 50 years later, I'm still doing the same thing, reading just like that in bed, and it's just a place to be great. So I am going to ask Martha a question, if you don't mind, Martha. I'm very curious, what kind of books,
when you were growing up,
Did you like to read?
I like to read Indian stories.
Oh, really? Interesting. Great, great. That's very interesting.
Native
and
American?
Fantasy. Yes, and fantasy. I like to read fantasy a lot.
Me too. Yeah, when I first discovered Tolkien, that was the end of that.
Yeah, I think he was a... He was a game changer for all of us.
I think so.
Yeah. Pam, what did you think of Martha's piece?
Oh, I absolutely just thought this was wonderful. There was a certain tenderness in your voice when you sang this particular song. And I have to agree, very relatable. I, too, was a voracious reader when I was younger, always getting lost in a book. And what I particularly liked about this is it could almost be taken as a lighthearted topic, except for where you say things books were the perfect escape for me from all the things that shouldn't be. You all of a sudden, within those lines, it hit the reader, the listener, really hard that there's something happening in this little girl's life, that something extremely painful that she needs to escape from. And I think that really increases the depth and the poignancy of the write. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Well, it was pretty much true what you said.
I was going to ask you, Martha, would you like to say something about this piece?
I just love this piece. I was so attracted to the picture because the girl's got glasses and she just looks like I did when I was reading in my bed hoping nobody would see the light was on. So I just loved it. I thought it just wrote itself.
I suspected that when I saw which prompt you had selected, that you had related, and it is a charming picture. I just had a feeling that that was young Martha sitting there at night with her book and her glasses, just immersing herself in a world somewhere else. So, I too really enjoy this piece. I think it was absolutely charming, and you did sound very. Very tender, very personal. It sounds like a very personal write. So thank you for this beautiful piece, Martha.
Martha, you know, it's funny. It's funny. I used to have to tell my kid to turn the light off and go to bed, and I'd go to my wife and say, I can't believe I'm yelling at my kid to stop reading.
My mom was always yelling upstairs, telling me to turn the light out and go to sleep.
I was a big comic book fan, because that's how my grandmother actually learned to read. So she was always a big advocate of comic books. And I had a habit of periodically, like every quarter or half, 6 months, I would take them all out and sort them. Don't ask me why, I don't know. But I would sit on my bedroom floor surrounded by these comic books as I was sorting them. Of course, you stop and read them because you've got, I forgot I had this one. And you know, and my father would stick his head around the corner, and he would exclaim, "It looked like I was building a nest."
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Comic books. So who
and
we got
I
next?
Think everybody. We got. And I want to say that if for those following on, that was prompt 39. Yes, Bobby gave us actually 39 prompts. She gets into her artist and gives us a lot to think about. And this one now is by Weaver of the Don't Want to Look Back, and it is for prompt number 2 and also prompt number 27. But I think we have a caller.
Sounds like it.
Yes.
Actually, sounds like
yes, you do. I'd like to welcome Lou to the show. Welcome, Lou. Glad you could join us.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Hey, Lou.
So much.
So excited to be here.
Love to have
Very
you, girlfriend.
Very excited to join us.
Okay, and you're just in time, so I'm going to put you to work and ask you to read the next piece by Weaver of Dreams.
She has a SoundCloud. Do you guys still want me to read?
Oh, she absolutely does. I totally forgot. I'm sorry. That was my job again. I'm stopping the line right now.
Uh-oh.
Yes, Pam, we do have a SoundCloud on that. My fault.
Yep.
My fault.
Bam, no worries. We have a SoundCloud, so here we go.
When I look back on the child I was, I am ashamed. Where was the courage, the fire and passion hidden? I now know what I should have done. It only took a step. It's sad you can't be different as a child. You must fit in. small, pale, frightened of my shadow, meek and quiet. Every day took on the aspect of a waking nightmare. Then he appeared, my id, loud, wild, demanding. Not prepared to cower, wanting it all, he didn't care. Ego and superego did their best to explain the rules. It laughed and left, dragging me along, of course. With me as a passenger, he accosted a bully, hit out with my boot bag, used a great deal of force. The playground was stunned into silence at first. Then a cheer erupted as Id took a bow, as was his right. Ego and superego regrouped with Id and agreed. This was the day life improved, much to my delight.
What a wonderful SoundCloud. Beautiful read. And something just leapt out at me, and I didn't catch it the first time I read it. It is interesting how she refers to her id with the masculine pronoun. I thought I was the only one that did that. So it's an interesting evolution. I would love to ask her about it, but let's get some comments on it. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, it was great. Again, another really relatable piece. I think all of these are going to be probably with the prompt of these, you know, children pictures, childlike pictures. We're all child at one point, right? And I do like that masculine, that, you know, she's basically seeing herself as meek, but then she's seeing kind of, I guess, strength, you know, coming out. And I think we might have all been there. I certainly, you know, had issues with I think a lot of people have had issues with some sort of bullying at some point, or somebody that, you know, was making fun of them or something like that. And when was that time, you know, if it ever was, when you finally kind of, you know, figured out how to stand up for yourself. So really interesting, and I think personal take on the prompt. I liked it a lot. It was really very, very interesting.
Great. Luyu, what did you think of this piece?
Well, I was very touched with this piece. You know, the thing is that we don't know each other's backgrounds until we write something or something that we've looked at or had to deal with. You know, I grew up in a very severely abusive home, and when I went to school, I was being abused there too. I was being kicked. They would twist my arms, and it was the same group of kids, the same ids, okay? And what ended up happening was I did the same thing she did. After being so tired, months of brutality from these kids beating me up, I turned around and I twisted the crap out of his arms until he screamed. And after that, he left me alone. You know, but it's really hard to stand up for yourself when you're taught at home not to stand up for yourself. So I don't know if this is true, but I do understand it. It's very sad. But I'm glad they learned to stand up for themselves. It's very difficult. It is.
Thank you for sharing. It is. I was also bullied as a child because I was gullible. I was trusting, because that's all I ever had at home. Mm-hmm. Was I trusted people at home, and I didn't learn not to. And then you find out that there's a group of people out there that don't have your best interest at heart. And unfortunately, they do tend to paint a target on your back. So, Martha, what did you think of this piece?
I really enjoyed this. I could really relate to it. Unlike the girl in the poem, I was perfectly happy to stay in the shadows and hope nobody noticed me, but it was nice to read about the other side of it. I really liked this poem.
Yeah. Great comment. Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I really thought, I have to agree with everyone, this is an extremely relatable write. I like how there's that sense of hope and victory at the end, where they discover the ability to stand up for themselves. I also really like the imagery in the second stanza, small, pale, frightened of my shadow, meek and quiet, every day took on the aspect of a waking nightmare. Those lines just particularly hit hard, and I thought it was very well done.
Great comment. Yeah, I think it is very relatable. I laughed and left, dragged me along, Oh, Id left and left and dragged me along, him, of course, with me as a passenger. He accosted a bully hitting out with my book bag. I like the just the transference there. Used a great deal of force. The playground was stunned into silence at first. Then a cheer erupted as Id looked, took a bow, and as was his right. Yeah, you do when you see that, you think how that surge of courage, and you feel a sympathy for that, that they were able to step up and defend themselves. Great piece, great, very relatable, very human, and I think a very personal right. So who have we got next?
Absolutely. I'm posting it right now. And let me hit send here. And we have, by Rosewinter 515, we have a poem called Lucy, and this is prompt number 38.
Arthur, would you read that for us, please, dear?
Sure. Lucy.
Okay.
Lucy, light of the world, candle in hand, bringer of sunshine, mystery.
Lovely read. Thank you. That I've noticed that Rosewinter has been contributing. She started a few contests ago. She's like the other poet that you made an observation on, Pam, that she does very, very brief, very dense pieces. And I think this one also is that same way. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
I really like this. I like that she went with the name Lucy, which is a nickname usually for Lucille or another name like that, which actually means like light or bringer of light. So I think by purposely, what I assume is purposely choosing that name, it adds to the poem. I like how she has the different types of candle or different types of light, like a candle, a sunshine, you know. And so it just really goes to show that, you know, you can be a light in a variety of ways to people. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great observation. And in looking at the prompt, I think she meant prompt 37 because she's got 38, which is the one next one, which is the young fellow playing the guitar and the butterflies coming out of it. The one above it is a beautiful, it's almost Christmas-like, a young girl holding a very large candle, and there is just a glow about her. So I think that's, and her interpretation of this is just, I think, enchanting. The light of the world, candle in hand, bringer of sunshine, mystery. Beautifully said. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing as Pam with the name Lucy. Lucinda, I know, means light. It was actually one of the names we were thinking of if my son ended up being a girl. It's a beautiful name. I really like the – I think it's a perfect description of the painting. And I really love that Rose put mystery in there because I think that really – you know, there is a sense of mystery and – because this poem's so powerful and positive, you can see that in this child's face as well too, that she is light. That's this kind of warming, almost angelic smile. So beautifully done, and very, very apt to the prompt. So great job, Rosewinter.
Glad both of you contributed that. I did not know that Lucy meant light, so I've learned something. Louie, what did you think of this piece?
You know, it's such a small brevity, but it's extremely powerful because she personified, you know, personified, I can't
remember that.
So anyways, yes, thank you so much, Dan. And, you know, some children, when they're growing up, are made and are told that they're the light of the world, that they can be anything they want to be. They have a lot of support from their parents. And, you know, for whatever reason, she's holding this candle, because there's a lot of reasons people carry candles for traditions, for funerals, for celebration. And, you know, what I like is she's like, all of you were talking, her face is so bright in that picture, and there's all kinds of lights behind her, whether they're fireflies or they're other people carrying candles. But what I liked about her smile was it told me something about her personality, that she was a mysterious little girl, and it made me wonder what she was thinking.
Great observation, a great catch on that. That is, it is almost a Mona Lisa smile, and then it is a bit mysterious and cryptic, and you wonder what the young thinking about. Martha, you read this beautifully for us. What did you think of it?
Martha, you still here?
Is Martha? She's mutating.
Yeah, I'm
Martha,
here.
Martha, are you still with me? Go.
Yeah, I'm here.
What did you think of this piece?
I especially liked the lights in it and the light of the world. I thought that was really neat. And I liked the way she ended it because that kind of caught your interest and made you wonder what she was referring to.
Because she does have that rather cryptic smile on there. So, we done. So, thank you for your
interest. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I don't know if we're losing power. Okay, you were disappearing a little bit. Yeah, so are we ready for our next poem?
We are.
Excellent. I'm going to post this one now by Blatant B, one of my new favorite poems to read, called The Masked Hero, and this is prompt number 12.
Why don't you go ahead and read it?
Oh, excellent. I'd be honored. My Masked Hero. My dad used to be a masked hero. He used to put it on and be invincible, he said. As soon as I put the mask on, my appearance would change. My hair would become less curly, my lips thinner, my complexion a little lighter. It would make my voice less softer, more friendly. It would come with an interaction mode that builds in what I say and how I say it, like, yes, ma'am, no problem, sir. My dad taught me how to use the mask very well, but I have learned its ultimate flaw. When you wear it for too long, you'll need the elixir to help you cope. And that you would eventually change. I become a blatant bastard the day the villain defeated my dad by forcing him to remove his mask. He didn't just take away his power, he took away his dignity and gave me a sentence that made him rely on the elixir until everything we had disappeared bit by bit. I removed my mask at age 25 when the elixir started distorting my powers. I thought I was fighting the system, but I was just a kid in a mask, wanting to fit in a society that was created for me to remain powerless. End poem. And I want to read the author's notes here that says, this picture actually made me look back on time that I was holding on to so much negativity.
And it is a powerful picture. It's of a young black girl who is wearing, almost looks like a Batman mask. And she has a look of serenity about her, but still it feels like she's hiding behind the mask. So this is a very powerful, powerful piece. And clearly from his author's note and just from the timbre of the piece, this is a very personal light. So I commend Blatant B on his courage for sharing this with us. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
She said she'd be right back.
Oh, very good. Who are you then? Please. Tell us what you think.
Well, you know, I understand this mask, you know, because, you know, this was something that was all on the TV. And in the area I lived in, a lot of bats flew around our house in the backyard. So I would imagine I was the bat. You know, and the problem with becoming a mask hero is you want that respect or that, you know, for people to like you for what you're not. You know, it's what society said you should look like. your hair, which they just passed a law that you can't fire somebody because of their ethnic background and the way that they wear their hair. So, I totally understand this. You're not white enough. Your lips are too big. When I was a kid, I used to scrub my skin so I wouldn't be my copper bronze color, because when I would go out in the sun, I would get, very dark. And, you sometimes wearing this mask, being a kid, you forget to take it off. And sometimes, like for me, I would stand up. I didn't have an example of this being a good father that would show me how to stand up, but if I wore that mask in the house, I would tell my dad no, and then I would just get horribly beat, okay? And because he couldn't stop hitting you. He would just get madder and madder and madder and hit you more and more and more. And, you find out as you get older, those are good qualities that they have, but you learn that those qualities do not work in modern society, and you have to learn how to deal and cope with the issues that are at hand. You can't fight the system because there's too many. You can back out and choose not to be part of it, or you can jump in and, go headway and just have to run against all these rhinos. It's just you're going to get stampeded. So, but, you have to learn where you can stand and where you can't stand, when you can say something, when you can't say something. And, wearing that mask will never let you be able to work in society. So I totally understand this.
Oh, profound, profound comment. Thank you. You're right. You have to learn to pick your battles, and sometimes that's not the easiest thing to
yes.
do.
Exactly.
Or wearing wearing camouflage, sometimes you forget that you are wearing camouflage, and you're behind the mask, you're behind the camo, and you don't realize that you've made yourself invisible. So that's a great comment. Martha, what did you think of this piece?
I really like this. I could totally relate to this. I was never able to find a mask to put on when I was growing up or after, and I always envied the people that did, but then I came to realize that the mask does more harm than it does good in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent comment. Great observation. Thank you. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, again, another really personal piece, and it is a very interesting and sad part of society about people trying to fit into a place and not being themselves but trying to be somebody else. And, he's talking here about a black man trying to fit into a white man's world, almost be white, and it is too bad that was part of society and probably still is in some places. It's just, unfortunately, I think that's going to take, it's going to take so many years just to get that out. It's very sad and always has been, and we still see it today in so many different ways, and it's not just black and white. It's just people judging people on something besides who they are. And it's a sad thing. Now, one thing I will just say real quick, I think this is an important topic to talk about, is my son, when he was going to school, he went to a school in a very mixed school, and he, when he was coming home, when he would describe somebody, he would never describe somebody by their skin color or their race. And he wasn't trying to be politically correct. He was in like second, third grade. It just didn't even occur to him. And I'm seeing that more and more. Now, I'm not saying there's not problems, because there is. But I from being around now for 50 years, I am seeing signs of things getting better, which gives me hope. So I do see that. I mean, there are obviously major problems still and major racists and bigots in the world, unfortunately. But I think if we go back to the 50s and the 40s and 30s, I think the world is getting a little better. And being a world society that we are, in an internet society, and we're becoming more and more kind of just, everyone mixing together, I think things are getting positive, I will say. But it's so sad that, these things are real and really existed in the world. And, I could go on forever, but great job, Blayton. Like I said, I'm a fan of his stuff, and I think he does a great job. It's a really heartfelt poem.
Does. He has some very profound pieces. And I agree with you. And if you look historically how things have changed, my mom told me that as a woman in the 50s, she got divorced, and the perception of divorcees was, well, you were stigmatized, and look at now, no one thinks twice. The religious backgrounds. If you want to see a real good indication, if you're into vintage films, watch Gentleman's Agreement.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's a great movie.
Yes, and it shows about how anti-Semitism was rife in the 50s and 60s, and then you run into, I remember in the military, was a bias against gay people, and it just there seems it always some group that's going to be excluded at the expense of their dignity, and you're right, it's sad. And I could go on forever, but I won't. is Pam back with us?
Yes.
I am, yes. Yeah, I thought this was just an amazing... Yeah, I thought this was an amazing write. I like how he talks about the mask he wore and the mask his father wore. And what I thought was particularly profound about this was how he mentions in the last couple of stanzas... The last half of the poem is the idea that his father's own mask was removed by somebody or something else, and where blatantly decided that he would be the one to remove his mask. And I think there's something very affirming about the action of deciding that you will be the one to remove your mask and not somebody else. So just a powerful right and very well done.
Great point. And I think there is a very a thinly veiled reference to alcohol also when the elixir started disrobing my powers. I think he made a very diplomatic reference to that in this, and I think it was very well done because it doesn't take away from the rest of the piece. So great job, Leighton B. Thank you for that contribution. And who do we have next?
Yes, another one that I am very excited about, one of my favorites also, is Afasiana, always great. First time I think she's been in our contests. So this is Flying Lessons, and she used prompt 28.
Do you have it up on the board yet?
I think I did. Did I not do that? I did, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Okay. Alrighty. Oh yeah, she also wrote that she was so enchanted by the artwork by this artist that she wrote several pieces and wasn't sure which one she wanted to contribute. So let me read Paisy's work here, Flying Lessons. And I read the other pieces that she wrote, and they were all splendid. Her prompt that she selected is the picture of all the children with books as wings. When squiggles of ink are understood, a child takes flight. Imagination set soaring by a book spine's might. Pages flutter like wings as words transport curious spirit. Wonder that expanded from a song of the alphabet. Before young minds can comprehend the power to ascend, they need a boost from a grown-up and a book to befriend. End poem. What a beautiful brevity. Pam, would you like to start off our comment?
Did you say Pam?
Pam.
Yes.
Okay, just double-checking. Okay. I really like this, and I can see how with Afasiana working at a library, how this particular picture artwork would speak to her. I like that she says, when squiggles of ink are understood, a child takes flight. I mean, the whole thing is wonderful, but a great opening line in the idea that if we take time to understand a child's writing, understand a child's imagination, you know, or even those drawings that they do where you can't quite tell what it is, but you just take time to enjoy, appreciate, and ask them questions. You know, and I really like this all the way through, but also ending where it says, before young minds can comprehend the power to ascend, they need a boost from a grown-up and a book to befriend. It's such an important part of childhood, I think, to encourage a love of reading, a love of imagination and thinking for yourself. So just absolutely beautiful and very well done.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. It is a beautiful, and I did not know that Faziana worked at a library, so thank you for that. And great brevity. Martha, what did you think of this piece?
Oh, I think it's really great. It made me think back to the teachers that taught me to read and how grateful I was to find out what was in books.
Yeah, clearly from the piece that you contributed. So thank goodness for that teacher. And Louie, what did you think?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
You are heard.
High five.
Are you there, Lou?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I really enjoyed this picture. This is the first time I've seen it. Because I can imagine myself being that little girl in the back with the long hair flying. Because books became an outlet where I learned what the world was. I could see how people dealt with problems, how kids dealt with problems. And, you know, and the librarian always let me check out the Max book. So she, you know, when somebody encourages you to read, you fall into the books and you become the characters in the books and you actually learn, you know, a different way of life besides, you know, the harsh military life that I grew up with, you know. So, you know, this, it gave me wings to see how the world was and how people reacted with each other. And it was just, you know, the happiness, you know, I would skip out of the library and go find a tree and start reading. You know, this, you know, reading is a gift.
Yeah, I completely. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everyone. And I think she did a great job of kind of getting that whole story of kids learning how to read. So when squiggles of ink are understood, right, when they – what is all the stuff in this book? I'm just looking at the pictures. But now I can see what the words are saying, and then the imagination all of a sudden goes ahead. And then once you start reading, I remember as a kid, like, you kind of almost can't change the pages fast enough. They're fluttering like wings. You're going, you know, page after page, and wonder is expanded, right? But then she, from her, like Pam was saying, you know, from her experience as a librarian, I believe she works with children in the library. You know, she can relate to. They need a boost from the grown up. You know, get them to read. And I think that is a hugely important thing for any parent, to read to their kids when they're younger, to get them, you know, to get them excited about that. So, I mean, a really lot on here, and I think this is very heartfelt and very personal for her. So I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, my grandmother never went to school, so she had a reverence for education. And she was the one that anytime we'd go downtown in Chicago, we'd stop at this one magazine vendor, and I would walk away with clearly about 2 inches worth of comic books, which I thought she was and at the time I think it was about a nickel a piece, and I thought she was spending a small fortune on me, but I could have picked one of everything and she wouldn't have cared, because she saw me reading. Uh-huh. My parents saw me reading and they were happy with that. So I agree completely. It opens a whole new world for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, so who have we got next? Great piece of
Faziana. We have somebody else I'm a big fan of, which is Victoria Frost. I think she wanted to come on today, and she's another first-timer on our show, which is great. She's deep into tax season because she works in taxes. So she said she wished she could join, but she couldn't. But this is the to the cycle of trauma and pain. This is for prompt number 11. And I don't think Lou is read yet, so she might be time for her.
Ooh,
that
okay.
Right? Bobby?
Thank you. To the cycle of trauma and pain by Victoria Frost. Stood within this meadow, my face reflects your dread. The growing understand of the pattern played again. All the while you gaze right back at the mirror in my head. The never-ending cycle of the trauma that you shed. It falls like drops on my soul, this swelling storm of pain. Stood within this meadow, my face reflects your dread. I see the horror of truth like a bullet made of lead, a victim to your stubborn tracks, a steady chugging train. All the while you gaze right back at the mirror in my head. I see your rage, I see your hurt, want to put this to bed. But words slip out from thoughtless lips like drops of acid rain. Stood within this meadow, my face reflects your dread. Because you are what you eat, poisons that force fed. As I watched and as I learned from your frustration as you complain. All the while you gaze right back at the mirror in my head. The little girl inside my soul, I think, found her cold and dead. What little good I may have left has drop by drop been drained. Stood within this meadow, my face reflects our dread. All the while you gaze right back at the mirror in my head. Wow.
Oh, great read. Very emotional. Wow, that was intense. That was intense. Wow, let's get some comments on that. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, this piece is really amazing. I didn't get to read it ahead of time, and there's a lot going on here. This is kind of like a wow. I mean, first of all, just the rhyming scheme is pretty amazing. It's hard to rhyme like that, the same kind of word over and over again, or the same rhyme, you know, dread, head, shred, lead, all together, and she did a fantastic job with that. This is very personal. I love that, you know, the theme of all the while you gaze right back at the mirror in my head, which is really interesting to me, and I'm going to have to read this again because I'm honestly, I'd love to hear everyone else's comments because I'm not sure if she's talking about the person only seeing themselves, like not being able to see you. So when people look at you, right, are they actually looking at you and being open-minded and seeing you, or are they just mad because you're not them? You know, because they can only see what they are, or is it you kind of reflecting off of them? So it's a very, very, very interesting and personal, right? Really beautiful. Great job, Victoria.
Very complex. Pam, what were your thoughts about this piece?
Well, you know, I really thought this was powerful. I like that she did it in the form of a villanelle because I really felt like the repetitive lines made an impact. I see your rage, I see your hurt, you want to put this to bed, but words slip out from thoughtless lips like drops of acid rain. Stood within this meadow, my face to reflect your dread. I kind of get the idea that since the word cycle is used in the title and also the poem itself, that it's the idea of somebody who's looking in the mirror and they're seeing their past. They're seeing how so easily they could become their parents, their grandparents, their abuser. That idea of trying to escape that cycle of abuse and sometimes feeling like it's the biggest struggle of your life because of the damage and the anger that goes on around inside you. So just a really thought-provoking write and very well done.
Outstanding comment. Thank you. And Martha, what did you think of this piece?
I really like this. I can well relate to the part about the pain and the trauma, and I love the way she just put it into words so beautifully. I just thought it was really wonderful. Well written.
Thank you. Lulu, you read this. What were your thoughts about it?
You know, for me, this was very relatable. Also, I mean, I'm probably going to relate to every poem on here because, you know, you can be anywhere in a beautiful garden, a beautiful mountain scene by the ocean, and you'll see something or something will trigger the memory. Because if you see, to me, the parent is holding the child's head to make sure that they remember all the, you know, like Pam brought out, the acid comments that they constantly give, you know, the bullets of lead, a victim to your stubborn tracks, you know, the constant repeating, a steady chugging train, you know, that's just like being told something negative about you over and over again, or them complaining about something, not doing anything about it, over and over again. And what happens is that you just keep putting in that poison, and what it does is it colors the child's mind. So to me, it's always, you know, it's not like every day that you think of this, but something will trigger these memories and they all come back. And, you know, and with some kids, either they will hide their child behind their heart, or they allowed their child to die within them. Because, you know, they don't know what to do. And, you know, where she says that the little girl inside my soul, I think I found her cold and dead. You know, you can literally kill somebody with the comments that you make over and over again, especially a child.
Great comments. Truly, people have no idea sometimes how you can wound more deeply with words than you can with an edged weapon. And
absolutely.
I'm very glad that Victoria contributed this, because when I looked at the picture, when I posted it, to me it looked like the child had an iPad for a head. And my impression, had I written to this, would have been the parent trying to get the child out of the iPad and back into the real world. But when Victoria saw it as a mirror, and I never would have interpreted it that way. So I was very glad, the opportunity to see this through her eyes and give a whole different spin on it. So thank you, Victoria, for an outstanding piece. And so who do we have next?
Yes, we are lucky ducks tonight because we get another poem by S. Sharp, as we did the carryover earlier, and now he or she, I'm not sure who it is, but they have gone to us today as well too. And this is for prompt number 8. And who is going to read this one?
Well, I'm going to ask Pam, because we haven't heard from her in a while. Pam, do you feel like reading?
Absolutely. I would be happy to. And just so you know, Dan, Scott Sharp,
yes,
is a guy.
Scott, I see it down there. Yes. I see it now. Man, I'm gonna count my mistakes tonight as dimes, and I'm gonna retire.
There you go. Sounds like a good plan to me. All right, this is "I Am a Tenor" by S. Sharp, and it goes like this. Mom, Dad, I have won ribbons, red, white, and blue, trophies, physical competitions, mental challenges, but they have all been for you. They say misery loves company, life is in an echo, lots of friends, who to sing lives in falsetto. I miss those days, laughing for no reason with you, singing for you. I'm a tenor. I don't want to try to reach high notes anymore, but the chorus to the song of my life is coming, and I hope you will sing it with me. End poem.
Terrific read. Terrific. Thank you very much. And the prompt that Mr. Sharp selected, prompt 8, I was fascinated with this one. I put it in. It is a young person standing on a platform and with a group of gold medals hanging around. They look like almost Olympic gold medals hanging around her neck, a whole cluster of them, and with the parents standing wide-eyed at the base of applauding. But they look almost they look like they're more recognizing the gold awards than they are the child. And I looked at that and I thought, God, I hope so. I'd love to hear what they think, and bless his heart, he did. And Dan, let's hear what you think of this poem.
Oh, sorry, I was mutating. Yeah, that's a it's a really important poem, and I think Scott did this, said it perfectly. I really liked, I miss those days laughing for no reason with you, singing for you. I remember as a kid, I honestly wasn't serious about life, or I didn't want to do anything until I went to college. I mean, I barely graduated high school, and then I was, top of my class in college, because I was still through high school just exploring life and just trying to figure things out. And it's so important for kids to do that, just to play. I mean, all animals do it. And I remember my son growing up, I never tried to force him to do anything, and he still today just, I'll just say, hey, did you do this, like, Dad, I just want to sit and do nothing right now, and he still gets that way. And I think it's important for everybody, but there is a lot of that, we all hear about it, the parents living through their kids and trying to kind of push them. We've talked a lot about, damage that are done to kids when they're younger, and that can do a lot as well, too, not letting kids actually just be kids for part of their life. Everybody will find something. So really interesting, very important work, I think. So great job, Mr. Sharp.
Hey, thank you for that. Martha, what did you think of this piece? Martha, are you
here? I think Martha went to bed.
Well, good night. And thank you for checking in with us and spending a little time with us. Lou, what did you think of this piece?
Well, working at the music festivals where children competed for orchestra, band, and choir, you would see some parents be supportive, but then you would see the bossy parents that insisted that their child become first chair or, be the top, they wanted to be first chair. And, when the kid would make a mistake, they would just yell at them or say something ugly or sharp or snide under their voice. And you would see the tears well up in the kid's face, just like you see that little girl's face. She's not happy. Sometimes you need to let the kids do the best they can, and you need to listen to a child's voice because they have opinions, whether as adults you want to believe it or not. And, you hope that eventually that when you become adult that however you're, like Sharp says, however you're leading your life, because not all the times are bad. Sometimes there is laughter and happiness and stuff like this. But, you want your parents to be happy with you. And you want them to be happy with your life. And, hopefully that happens.
Great, great comment, great observation. And didn't know you did that. You must be able to relate to this picture quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, what did you think of this piece? Uh-oh. Did Pam drop down again?
Nope, I'm here. Sorry. Honestly, sometimes I just have a little trouble understanding the difference between Pam and Dan. So there's just that slight pause of me thinking, did he say my name? Sorry about that. I thought this was absolutely amazing. And I really liked what Lou had to say about your observations, Lou, on working with children at the music festival and how parents have different reactions and, as you said, some are supportive. Mm-hmm. And I really like how this is somebody looking back to childhood, from adulthood, and saying, I remember how I did things. I performed and I sang for you, and now I want to do things for me. I really like at the end where he says, I'm mm-hmm. a tenor. I don't need to try to reach high notes anymore, but the chorus and the song of my life is coming. And I hope you will sing it with me. I like that he puts in the idea that I'm not a competitive person. you know, I'm happy with who I am, and I hope that you'll join me in with who I am and love me for who I am. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comments. Thank you. I have learned that unfortunately that some of the, especially now, it seems like parents, some of them, they view their children's lives as extensions of their own. I know my mother did that with me. I didn't realize what she was doing until I was in my 40s. Actually read something that triggered that, and I was like, oh, is that why she didn't want me to join the Marine Corps? You know, is that why she wanted me to stay home and get a job? Because that's what she did. And so this is a very poignant piece because it talks about the child being themselves and not the extension of the parents. And I agree with you, Pam. That last stanza is just dynamite. It's great. I hope you will sing it with me. So great piece, S. Sharp. Thank you for that. And who do we have next?
Yes, absolutely. And let me get to the right page here and hit post. And, yeah, I'm very excited about this one. This is a very interesting poem by Mamia, and it is on prompt number 8. And who is going to read this one? Did I say it right? I did, yes. No, I'm sorry. It's prompt number 8. Yes, prompt number 8 again. So go ahead.
That's interesting. By Mamia, and which is, I'm surprised she didn't give us a sound call. She usually does. It's called Firsts. This is interesting. Firstborn, first smile, first steps, first tooth, first word, first food, first friend, first letter, first number, first read, first write, first school, first grade, first teacher, first medal, first recognition. First pressure, first cram school, first in all subjects, first graduation, first college, first dorm, first taste of freedom, first rebellion, first smoke, first kiss, first boyfriend, first girlfriend, first sex, first breakup, first heartache, first rebound, first breakdown, first depression, first anxiety, first attacks, first psychiatrist, first prescription, first medications, first therapy, first breakthrough, first unplugging, first rest, first quiet, first meditation, first self-care, first slowing down, me first, for a change. End poem. That was amazing. Pam, would you, Miss Pam, would you please start our comments off?
I would say that really helps if you call me Miss Pam. Thank you. I really liked this. You know, I wasn't sure at first what I was going to think because you look at it and it really hits you that there's the word first a whole lot. But that's such an important part of the poem. And I like how it creates that thought of there's all these firsts in life and you eventually get to the point where you realize you're putting everyone else first, everyone else's care first. I like this all the way through, but especially those last like couple of stanzas, especially where it starts with first heartache, first rebound, first breakup, first depression, first anxiety, and going through that idea of realizing that taking care of other people is you know, affecting your mental health, and that you really need to have that first time when you slow down, where you put yourself first and take care of yourself. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. I agree. I have told my young friends, since I've retired, I've had a few part-time jobs. And one of the things that I'm always kind of amused by is when, and I know all experiences, you walk in somewhere and the person behind the counter has that deer in headlights look. And you go to check out and they say very quiet, this is my first day. And I look at them and I congratulate them because I tell them, I said, you know, that's my, that means, I said, you're not afraid to try something new. May you have many first days in your life. And I never thought about it in this way until I read Mamiyaw's piece that not only is it a first day at a new job, but there's so many first experiences. Like a laundry list, but as you take account of all firsts, if you go through your life experiencing a lot of these, if not all of them. So great piece, Mamiyaw. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. And on a personal note, I wrote one kind of like this where it was one word sentences. It was called The Story of Love, and I kind of wrote it kind of the same way. So it was very exciting to see somebody else write a poem in this type of a style. So I was very excited about that. And, you know, after I got through the end of it, I really realized what she was saying, and it was so beautifully stated. Where you go through all, you know, and the reason why they're listing so many things, right, is because we go through all of these experiences in life, and then as she's saying down at the end, you know, first unplugging, first rest, first quiet, and then me first for a change, because you kind of have to go through all these experiences in life to then go back and think, okay, what is it I really want out of life? What do I like? What is it that I, you know, what connects with me? And you can't really tell until you've gone through it all. So really interesting way of putting it. I love Mamiyaw's work, and I was very excited to have her put it on, to have her put something on this this contest. Great job, Mamiyaw. Loved it.
I like her perspective on things. She has such a different view of things that I find it refreshing to read her pieces because I find myself thinking I would have never looked at things the way she does, which, again, I'm very glad to be able to see the universe through her eyes. Louie, what did you think of this piece?
Well, you know, when you expect this type of exceptional education from a child, you know, and they get recognized and they get a medal, and then the parent goes, oh, my gosh, she's smart. And whether she was tutoring her before, which I don't know, or she got the tutoring in school, it says then she started feeling pressure because she was expected to cram school exams, which means you're not sleeping. You know, you're not eating. You're graduating from common. You know, you graduate from high school, and then you're out of that tight grip of living that you have been living in your entire life since you've been born, your firstborn. And then she started experimenting because this was a new life to her because everything she couldn't do before, she was doing it now. And what ends up happening is that that's when the collision happens. Your past life collides with your now life and collides with your whatever you've gone through in the past. So with any type of therapy, they usually tell you to write things down or they write things down. And, you know, they prescribe you something to help you deal with this type of pressure that you've gone through your entire life. And then they taught her. The therapist, you know, therapy is good. Psychiatrists are good. They taught her she needed to unplug, she needed to rest, meditate, quiet, self-care, to take care of herself. And then, you know, because if she takes care of herself, then she can take care of her family that she has right now. And so, you know, this was deeply, deeply painful.
Standing comment. Great insight. Wow. You're right. It's the way she divides it up. That's why I tried to pause between these different stanzas. Because
good job
there
in
are
name, Bobby.
To clear divisions of activity here and of phases in life. So, Mamiyaw, thank you for that outstanding piece. And who do we have next?
Yes, and we are in for a treat because we have one by the great Diane D. It's called I Am a Square, and it is prompt, I don't know what number, but the picture is up there. So if you look on the poem,
yes.
The picture will be there.
Hey, and we don't have a SoundCloud with that, do we?
We do not.
Okay. Liu, would you grace us with your voice?
Yes, it would be my honor. It is titled, But I Am a Square by Diane D. Standing in the squares lineup, I met voices of disgrace. Squares would point and whisper, go hide your ugly face. They shouted that I was a circle, and to stay within my kind, I tried to make them understand I'm square inside my mind. I have never sat down in a corner or fit well inside a box. How can you live with hounds when you know you are a fox? Yes, I was made a circle, but it was some kind of mistake. I had never danced as a circle since the choice was mine to make. So I stand tall in this lineup, and when the next turn draws near, I know that I will fit in that hole because I know that I'm a square. End poem.
Outstanding read. Outstanding. And a great piece. I mean, the rhythm, it sounded like it was a delight to read because of the cadence. And what did you think of it, Liu?
I thought it was fantastic. You know, this is society. Just because there's something different about you, and you look around and everybody else looks kind of the same, but you don't look anything like them, but you think like them, which, you know, to me, this is novel. Just because I'm around, don't judge me because I may believe in the same things that you do. I thought it had sharp humor, and, you know, she was trying to get them to look on the other side, like she was able to look at the square side. Great poem.
Yes. Great, great comment. Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Oh, I absolutely adore it. I think it was, as you said, Bobby, that the cadence of it is absolutely wonderful. I have to agree with Liu. There is this little nice little bite of humor to it. I love the attitude in this, especially I have never sat down in a corner or fit well inside a box. How can you live with hounds when you know you are a fox? I mean, I just think it has such wonderful sass to it, and it's very well done.
Agreed completely. Dan, what were your thoughts about this?
Yeah, I definitely agree with everyone. There's really some two sides to this, both a negative and a positive. You know, the positive of that where we are all different, and stop telling me that I'm not, you know, a person like you just because I look a little different than you. I am. We're all the same. Every single 100 billion of us that have ever lived on here, we're all people. We're all the same. But then there's also the people who are different, who are trying to fit into a place that they might not fit into. And why make yourself fit in with people that aren't you? Or like force yourself to be like somebody else, and that does happen all the time. So I kind of see those two sides of it, which is really, really interesting to me. So yeah, very beautiful, really just lovely piece. I enjoyed it a lot, and great to the prompt. And I think that moves us on, does it not?
No, I didn't get a chance to say anything.
Oh, you didn't? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't. I wanted to let everybody else go first. But this piece, especially after reading Diane's piece, and I'm going to put the link up in the comments. But this reminded me of an animated feature that came out in the 70s, and it was actually called The Point, and it was a story of a little boy. Everyone else in the village, in the town, had pointed heads, like cone heads. And this little boy had a rounded head, and his name was Oblio, and he had to wear a pointed hat to conceal his pointless condition. And you've ever heard the song "Me and My Arrow" by Harry Nilsson? It was for this cartoon, and it is a beautiful a little animated feature about this little boy who's sent to the pointless forest, and he discovers everything has a point. He comes back and he introduces the king and all the people in the town to the fact that everything has a point. And I will put the link out there to the story, but it very much reminded me of that same thing, because it was with the round character and the square hole, and they saw themselves differently from the way everyone else saw them. So I really delighted in this piece. That was bloody brilliant. So now we can move on, please.
Absolutely. And this is by Writing Cat, somebody fairly new to All Poetry. We're very excited to have her. And this is for prompt number, I don't know. Oh, prompt number 2. That says it right in the title.
Yeah. Pam, could you read this for us, please? Oh, Pam. Oh, has Pam stepped away again? Well, then, I guess.
I don't know. I didn't see a message.
About that. I was on mute.
There she is.
Yes, sorry about that. All right. This is Just One Friend by Writing Cat, and it goes like this. I'm all alone in my shell with people all around me. Not one enters and gives me company. They're there up and down and side to side. They talk between themselves. As I sorely hang on beside, I see it happening around, gossips, sleepovers and all, those spontaneous visits with pictures on the wall. I just plead for one, a jolly one friend, to talk and play, and that I can depend. End poem.
Great read. Thank you. And Louie, would you like to start us off with the comments?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. We can hear you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can you hear me? I can't tell what if I'm on
yes.
mute or not. Am I? You can hear. Great. Thank you. You know, this poem makes me so sad, because when I would see children like this, or even elderly people who are sitting by themselves all alone, and you can just see on their face the sadness. It is, you can't miss it. If you look at people's reactions and their facial features, you know, people walk by them as if they're not there. They talk to themselves and move around you like you're just a bump on a log. You know, everything's happening, you know, people, like she says right here, they're gossiping about what they're going to wear, you know, the sleepovers they're going to have, you know, are you going to come to my house? And then, of course, they have pictures of them celebrating birthdays, school stuff, and they have it on the wall, and it says, but for her, this isn't true. And she says, you know, and then she says at the last stanza, which is so sad, is that she just wants one friend that she can talk and play with, that she can depend and tell them, you know, everything that she felt, especially in high school, because in high school there is so much pressure to conform and be in groups, be in the football, be a cheerleader, be this, be that. Band major, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, some people, they're not interested in this, but that doesn't mean that they don't want that type of friendship. It's just deeply, deeply sad. And it's a sad, sad poem.
It is, and very well written. Dan, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Lou 100%. It is really sad, and there are, it's not only kids like that, there's adults like that that just, and I see them all the time that they just they have so much trouble fitting in, and they're so shy and unsure of themselves that they can't, you know, it's hard for them to find anybody, you know, and it can be even harder when you're a kid. It can be very detrimental, but it can be harder even to find people when you're an adult, because you're now off on your own, and especially, you know, nowadays when you work from home, like, where do you go find people? You know, and people can get very, very lonely and just want, and, you know, some people can be so awkward and hard to find people to hang out with them. It's it is really sad, you know, that people are like that. And I'm trying to think of an answer for it. And it's hard to make everybody happy. So it is sad that this is something that's still around. Great poem, Writing Cat. Keep on doing it.
Wait, Pam, what did you think of this piece that you read?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is this has been a whole night of powerful poetry throughout.
Yes.
Just really hits hard, really emotive. I like that she takes us back to a friend, somebody that she made friends with that was feeling sad and lonely. And I really like how Lou and Dan both mentioned that it's not just children, but also adults that oftentimes feel lonely in the crowd. But I think it's particularly mm-hmm. difficult for children because they're trying to regulate their emotions and they're trying to understand where they fit in. And there's this pressure in school. So I just really think absolutely a heartfelt writing, very well done.
Thank you. Great comment and great observation. And there is a great deal of pressure. When we're young, we don't have the self-confidence to allow ourselves to be different. When you're different from everyone else, you tend to get singled out, and it's not a good thing. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the life experience to shore us up to where we can look and say, I'm happy this way. great comments in this piece. And we're under 30 minutes. We're about 20 minutes away. How many more pieces do we have?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 6, so we'll get through as many as we can and have some carryovers.
Okay, well, let's...
We will continue on.
Bobby, Dan?
Yes.
Just so you know, we have Naomi with us.
Oh, hey, Naomi.
Hello.
Hey, Naomi.
Sorry, guys. I'm here at the last minute. I had company over, so... Yeah, I really wanted to get this show because, you know, those pictures were amazing and the message in them, you know, just spectacular, what they vehicle, the message. Just well
chosen.
So
glad you're here, Naomi. Thank you
yeah.
very much.
Yeah, and so let's put Naomi to work with the next piece. What do we have?
Absolutely. One of my new favorite poets, which I seem to say about 100 times a day, but this is by, but it is true, but this is by Cassia F, and it's called Butterfly Kisses, and she chose prompt number 1.
Naomi, could you read that first, please?
Such a beautiful picture. Of course, butterfly kisses. The wonder of beauty surrounds my pure soul. Butterflies rest on my everlasting spirit. I'm so happy to feel them on my skin now. I was born to love all the beauty from his garden. I still feel the gentle breeze. My youth I give to teach me the truth love to fly. I was once a caterpillar, never knowing such divinity of beauty caressing my soul. He painted me in such innocence. She's as delicate as her brush became me, found loveliness inside me. All I feel is on this canvas of dreams to be, hope and trust hold hands, I'm the little one universe chose. They belong to the wings of beauty. Each one a message for your future. They whisper songs beyond songs. The colors of life vibrate in me now. I'm the tree of life, home of the magnificence of being. As butterflies kiss me. End poem.
Beautiful read you did there. That was beautiful. Let's get some comments for you and for Kasia F. And since you say this is your new favorite, Dan, would you like to start the comments off?
I would love to. And yes, I discovered her a couple weeks ago, and she really has such a passion and a beauty, and her poems are so positive. They really give me joy to read, and there's no exception here. Her comments below say, thank you so much for this beautiful contest. Gratitude to the artist who sees magic in all. I enjoy reading it. At the end, she says, I chose this for the love of butterflies. And when have you ever seen a picture of butterflies where it wasn't just this magical, beautiful, like you were in a fantasy world? And that's kind of what people just think. And I think the way she captured that is fantastic. And I really loved, I once was a caterpillar, never knowing such divinity of beauty caressing my soul. And I think that's just such a beautiful line, you know, that there is those times in our lives, especially when we are younger, when we don't know that beauty that we have yet. We may feel beat up by other kids, but we haven't discovered that beautiful butterfly that we will become. So really amazing, Kasia. Thank you very much for entering this.
Observation, I agree with you. I also like that stamp. What did you think of that piece? And silence. Pam, have you left it?
Oh, yes. Well, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I like how I'm going to have to definitely check out more of their poetry. I like how this uses the metaphors of the butterfly and the tree of life, and how, to me, the general idea is that idea of being tended to, being taken care of, and then growing and passing that care on to other people. I particularly like the lines, I was once a caterpillar, never knowing much such divinity of beauty caressing my soul. He painted me in such innocence. She felt it as her brush became me, found loveliness inside me. There's something very special about someone discovering the beauty of you on the inside. So wonderfully written and very well done.
Thank you. Luyu, what did you think of this piece? Have we lost you, Luyu? Are you?
Hello? Hello?
There you are.
Hello.
There you
are. Yes, hi. You know, for me, this was a beautiful poem because it was a release. Being in nature was a release for the child inside of me, the child that would come out and play, not the child who was, you know, taught to be silent and not seen. When I would go out there and I would have ladybugs or fireflies, and especially butterflies, I would transform into these little insects of beauty. And I could hear their wings. I would fly with them on the different flowers. And it's funny because when you're in that transformation, you know, being Native American, when you turn into the animal spirits or, you know, these insect spirits, you are free. You're free from everything that's in the past. You see the beauty. And, you know, to me it was beautiful that they would choose me to sit on and move and crawl, you know, because for me, I was holding hands with them. And the universe and the stars where I would go out at night and watch them, you know, the fireflies, this is the beauty that we captured and treasured and kept within our soul. And, you know, it's just gorgeous. As butterflies kiss me, how could you not respect Mother Nature.
I think if you've ever had a butterfly land on you, it is something you never forget. And it's
that
just,
is true.
It's like, it's like your magic. So it's a I agree, beautiful piece. So let's scoot along here and see what else we can get done. Who do we have next?
Oh, all you late night poets, you're in for a treat. We have a SoundCloud by Geraldine.
And Pam's going to tee it up for us.
Yep. Here we go.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Autumn Flower, written and read by Gerald Green. His gift won't blossom for another decade. He sees himself as just another boy among the many who are nothing, just a rusty trinket or a broken toy. Music swells within his tiny breast. Songs become a trusted friend as raspy voice and ill-formed words bring comfort and small dividend. He listens as some others lead, directing play and frequent games, where loss and disappointment make their mercenary claims. Each day is like the last and melds into the next without fanfare or plaque. He waits for what is coming, unaware of his bright but future track. Parents don't appreciate the hidden gifts and fail to nurture what is there, allowing time to ripen on its own. They watch with love, but do they care? One day, when family least expects, he will hold a new guitar, and life will change for everyone. But now, today, no one can see that far. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
This was a marvelous read. What a wonderful! I don't think I've ever heard a Gerald Green read before. This was truly wonderful. To whoever that is, Pam, would you like to start us off with comments, please?
I'd be happy to. I always enjoy when Gerald makes a SoundCloud. I think he's got just an amazing reading voice. And I like how this looks at the young child and the latent gift that he has, the gift that's held in and that someday will be shown in the future. And that, but it brings us into the here and now, into the idea that the child has not yet revealed that hidden gift. It has not yet been ripened into its full potential. So I just really thought this was a beautiful and thoughtful write and very well done.
Great comments. Louie, what did you think of this piece?
Can you hear me? I want to make sure before I comment.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you, Naomi. You know, for me, it made me look at this picture different. Now I see a boy looking at his past shadows. The pain that he went through, that, you know, the things that, you know, he felt alone. You know, it is very hard for students, which I used to carry about 10 of them with me with bass and cellos and violins and violas, because their parents wouldn't take them. They didn't care if they won medals. They didn't care. They just didn't care. They didn't, you know, like he says right here, parents that don't appreciate the hidden gifts and fail to nurture what is there, allowing time to ripen on its own. They watch with love, but do they care? You know, sometimes they would only show up for the concerts. They never, all the work that they had to do, you know, which they would come to my home and they would play and do their ensembles here because they didn't want to be home with their parents because to them it was just noise. And so, you know, this made me look at this, you know, this picture. He's looking at those past pains, those past shadows. You know, I see somebody's playing basketball and usually parents are cheering them on. And, you know, you know, children see this. Children see you do not support them. And it devastates them. But if somebody will step in and give them a chance, they learn. And just like he did, you know, he learned decades later. You know, he got his new guitar, and it will change for everyone. And, you know, but now, today, no one can see that far. And, of course, you can't see that far. But every positive thing you can do for somebody makes a difference in their life.
Outstanding comment. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's interesting the different interpretations we've had on this particular piece, this particular prompt. This by far is the most positive one. And Naomi, what did you think of this?
Yeah, well, I agree with everything Lou said. Me being a teacher myself, you know, saw these children, you know, all kinds of children, children with parents that had high expectations and pushed them and pushed them and pushed them. And then the other side, parents that are just absent, you know, you try to reach them, to talk to them about their child, and, you know, there's just no interest whatsoever. I just found this amazing how he starts out, he sees himself as just another boy among the many who are nothing, just a rusty trinket or a broken toy. And then at the end, you know, one day, when the family least expects, he will hold a new guitar and life will change forever. He's going to change everyone's future, you know, everyone's life, just by his gift of music. Yeah, I thought this was fabulous, fabulous, right?
Comment, thank you. Dan, how much do we, what do we have left?
We have a few left. We won't go through them all, but we'll see if we can squeeze one in. But I love Gerald's voice. I'm definitely going to check out more of his stuff. Amazing voice.
Oh my goodness!
And this
yes.
poem. And this poem was very interesting. It reached to me. I had great parents. There is a great upbringing, but they didn't get it when I was playing drums. They never got it. It was just noise to them, and they didn't see it, and they didn't. They grew up in the 50s and 40s, and, you know, big band. Rock and roll was just noise. And, you know, and that happens a lot. And you know, I still, you know, found a way to do it. And I wasn't a very musical family. They didn't have a stereo or anything. There was never really music in my house. So it was, again, it was you know, that hidden gift that they just couldn't see. And it is interesting with a lot of those kids. And also interesting what you, Bobby, said about this prompt, what everybody said about this prompt, too. And that this was one of the prompts that so many people related to. You know, when we do these contests, Bobby, I always try to picture, okay, which poem, which picture is going to be the most relatable to people. So very interesting that it was this one. But beautiful read and amazing poem.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And for those of you who haven't seen it yet, the film that won Best Picture for this year was called Coda. And if you've not seen it yet, I would strongly recommend it because it is very much like this poem in that it is a story of a young woman who finds she has a beautiful singing voice, but her entire family is deaf, and she's seeking her own space and trying to communicate to her family her love of music when they clearly cannot relate to it. So I would recommend if you've not seen it, it is a very moving piece. and it's very close to this poem. So let's see if we can squeeze one more in.
Yes, I agree. I think we got time for one more, and I think this is a fun one to end on, a good one to end on. It is by Kay Heartless, and it's called Blame It on the Bunny. Who's going
to
read this one?
I think you want to.
Sure. I'd be very happy to. Blame It on the Bunny. Blame It on the Bunny. Lovers hump each other's carrot legs behind the neighborhood trash cans, howling at an Easter egg moon. Empty egg crates stink, and I don't care, marshmallows flurry in a field of dust. Rumpled sunflower hair crosses a pillow's border. Bed is a natural burrow. Blame it on the bunny. All fluff and sugary peep, a basket without any grass, hops past wolves within a grin. Pink puffer coat tight as skin, pom-pom hat in heat skis. The slippery slope of sex appeal. Mounds in the yard of her chest, all the boys are ready for an egg hunt in her amethyst blouse. Blame it on the bunny. Baskets must be filled. Resurrection requires skill, and every bear needs honey. End the poem.
Standing read. Standing read. Let's get some quick comments here. Louie, would you like to start us off, please?
Yeah. You know, sometimes the best thing about a holiday is wearing the costume. You know, and, you know, I know kids like this where they, you know, depending where you live, things melt, they get stinky, and the kid's running, it picks up the dust, it gets all over the, you know, the candy, and it's the sugary peeps with no grass in it. That just cracked me up. But, you know, boys will be boys, girls will be girls, and, you know, to see a bunny running with bosoms, the boys will stop looking at the nest eggs and look at the bunny. Yeah. The clever poem, it's the satire of the dark side of Easter, but, you know, they're still fun to be had because everybody needs honey.
Great comment. Great. Thank you, Naomi. What did you think?
Oh, well, I thought this was wonderful. I mean, she has such beautiful imagery all throughout. And, you know, yeah, it is the dark side of Easter, but, you know, I thought it was just a unique take on that prompt there. And, you know, so witty and so clever. Just a wonderful, wonderful write by Kay Harkless here. Just delightful.
Indeed. And that image was a left ad by me because I found it at the last minute. I wanted to make sure that it made it into the collection because I didn't know. It was one of those images where you look at it and you go, this is either going to speak to someone or it won't. And apparently it did. So, Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Well, first of all, I absolutely love that picture. It reminds me of one of my nephews who has hair exactly like that, white, orange, and curly. So just love the picture. I really like how this is about that for me, Blame It on the Bunny means, you know, that discovery of that first Playboy magazine that you find under your dad's or brother's bed and you and your friends get together and just ogle through it. And there, before you know it, you're thinking about all the goodies out there. And, you know, so I just really felt it was delightful in it's the way it was expressed and wonderful imagery and very well done.
Thank you. I agree. I also liked the subtlety of the comment of Blame It on the Bunny. I have to admit that it took me a couple of reads before it dawned on me what the poet was talking about because I wasn't looking at it from that point of view. Dan, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun and very interesting, and I'll end with something Kay Heartless wrote about a comment. She said, I sat down to pen all the stereotypical bunnies in our vernacular, and I'm not sure I probed deep enough to really expose these sexist stereotypes, but it was all good fun. So great job, Kay. And look at that, 11:59 is the drummer in me. I'm so we have timed it perfectly, and I love it.
Well,
we do have three left over for next week. But so Vamped Vixen, Pink Fairy, and Passion's Promise, we'll get to you next week. And with that,
Andy,
if you want to take us out there, Captain.
Well, I wanted to let everyone know. First, thank you to everyone with the entries. Please look at our current contest, which is the Metaphorical Realism of Vladimir Kush. Some very interesting and imaginative artwork out there. And I will give everyone a little hint that the next contest is going to be a side order of silliness. I found an artist who takes ordinary, everyday objects and makes art out of them. And I think it's for April 1st, I think that'll be a fun thing to toss out there. And that'll probably be posted on Monday. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And good night to everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.